Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor, and I'm joined here with Caden here. This is Tee Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode, especially of our Formula One coverage. We have a lot to talk about today in terms of just catching up on the off-season stuff going into the 2026 remodel of the entire league, the new car regulations, engine regulations. It's going to be a very, very interesting time for Formula One, especially because I will be covering that F1 75 event at the end of February extensively to the best I can. There's going to be a lot of announcements coming out then. But let's dive into some of the tidbits and headlines coming out of for the Formula One paddock over the past couple weeks. I'm going to try and stay up on the Formula One scene throughout the offseason so that we can dive headfirst into Formula One's 2025 season, which I am so fucking excited for. It's going to be crazy. And obviously, Caden here joined with me. I don't really know who his big like fandom goes to. I think he's a Norris guy. It might be Hamilton. McLaren. Oh, yeah. Obviously, Hamilton, obviously, with the Ferrari red means victory. He did have his early season. He did have an early season crash in Spain, which we'll talk about later. But every time he's had an early season crash, he has won the world championship in both phases that season. So maybe a pattern that might follow with Ferrari and Charles Leclerc. Speaking of Charles Leclerc, his ex-race engineer joins Cadillac Racing as a technical advisor. So I just wanted to point this out. The fact that Cadillac is getting, engineers and anyone that's been advised or advising on Ferrari in the past couple of years, that's a great win. Like, you're getting experience, you're getting those types of guys that know how to run a team, know how to run systems, know how to run analytics, know how to run through data. I just thought that was pretty big news. What do you think about just overall? I know you haven't really voiced your opinion. I'm sure you're going to be a Cadillac guy when they get into the scene in 2026. But what are your thoughts on that? And would you think that's a good idea for them to kind of poach talent like that? Or should they start developing American talent in terms of GM's status?
But I think at the start, you got to burst onto the scene and make some get some big names in there. And the big names right now aren't American.
No, you know what I mean? No, not Logan Sargeant.
So I think you go in there, you get your Europeans, you get a quality known race car driver, an experienced race car driver for your first couple seasons to develop your car. That's the way I see it. And I think the American development can come down the line.
I like that. Coming out of Red Bull's camp, Jonathan Wheatley will start as Sauber's new team principal in April. Last September, McLaren announced that it had signed Will Courtley as its new sporting director. Red Bull have reportedly shown no interest in negotiating an early release with McLaren for Courtley. He'll remain at Red Bull in 2025 and has to wait for his contract to end. Hannah Schmitz is expected to be promoted to Red Bull's head of racing strategy role when Courtney will leave. I've heard a lot of things, and this kind of just tends to kind of go in this direction, that Red Bull does have a very toxic work environment. I've heard that quite literally from a lot of sources. F1 Explore page on Instagram, 365 Racing News. A lot of these guys and sources are saying like it's just kind of run like a tyrannical system, which it makes sense.
It's cutthroat.
You gotta win.
It has to be, you know.
But in terms of like when they do fall off, it's gonna be a lot worse than Mercedes' technical fall off, if you will, after their technical eighth win, if you're being honest. They kind of got robbed for them at eighth championship. Mercedes will unveil only their 2025 livery at the F1 75 event. The W16 will be seen in Bahrain. So we're going to see the 2025 Mercedes in Bahrain, which is pretty cool. Something I know you want to talk about here. Some of Williams' engineers defined Carlos Sainz's technical knowledge as a blessing. What do you expect from Carlos Sainz and Williams? I know they're going to probably struggle a little bit, but and the one thing that sucks with Carlos Sainz's entire career is he either gets traded out for the better driver at the time, and in this case it was Lewis Hamilton, the greatest of all time. Kind of just the patience always wears thin with him, and he turns out success right before he leaves. Do you think that's going to happen here, or do you think that he's going to get Williams into contention?
Well, you know, I've always thought big of Sainz, since I got into F1. So I will expect some big things from him, but it's all about that car, man. If they put him in a shit box,
it's a tractor.
There's not that much that he can do.
Yeah.
But if Williams actually puts some quality behind Sainz, I think he can develop a good car.
I mean, he's a good season. Race winner. He's placed top five. He's
fast, aggressive.
He's fast, aggressive, but he's also, in my opinion, right now, mm-hmm. besides maybe Fernando Alonso, the best driver in rain. Yeah. Like, I think he just has such a feel for the car. Like, mm-hmm. he is a true race car driver. He is one of my top five racers of all time as well.
Of all time?
My personal favorites. Yeah, because Ricardo is my personal favorite. But Carlos Sainz, just his aura and just his personality, he's a smooth operator, if you will.
Smooth operator.
Aston Martin, there's been reports, especially coming out of RacingNews365.com, Aston Martin is apparently willing to pay $1 billion, $1 billion with a B, to get Max Verstappen in their paddock. Shit. And I don't know if you guys...
he'll be there.
I don't, like,
he'll be there.
People don't realize what Aston Martin has grown since 2021. Not just as a company, but as a Formula One racing team. It has grown 100 times. Since converting from Race India,
it helps that they have a billionaire owner.
100%, but dude, like they have become a bigger brand as the years go on because of Fernando Alonso, because of what Stroll has done to the company, and especially adding Adrian Newey. He joins Aston Martin on March 3rd.
That's a legendary, probably the greatest car designer
ever
in F1 history.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's been a part of some of the best seasons, best teams.
He has the most championship winning cars.
Yeah, and he's the only reason, in my opinion. I think Red Bull's going to suffer a big loss there this year. I think he's their big reason they've been so dominant. I mean, you look at his track record. He's been there every time they've been in contention and have won the constructors or the drivers. So, and also a big thing from Helmut Marko, the head of Red Bull Racing. Quote, "My biggest mistake... no doubt about it. That's Nyck de Vries." I don't know if you remember him. He was a Formula E champion. Came over to try and battle Yuki. This was 2021, 2022. Formula E champion. A guy, no slouch. A guy that can drive. Came over for, at the time, it was Toro Rosso. And this dude was worse than Logan Sargeant. In 13 races, they got him out of there, bro. It was bad, bro. There was one race where, like, I forget, like, it was on Drive to Survive on Netflix. Like, I learned a lot about, he's a good guy. Like, just the feel for the car is completely different from Formula E. Like, he's charging up his battery and having different areas where he can use his supercharge in the Formula E. In Formula One, bro, you're flying around in a rocket ship. And there was one time where he was like, "I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know what I'm doing." Like, he was crashing out, bro. Like, that's why I love...
Why would they put this man behind the wheel,
bro? That's why he lasted 13 races.
Should've been shot, bro.
Helmut Marko, on Nyck de Vries, quote, "He did very well on his debut for Williams in Monza, but once he joined AlphaTauri/Toro Rosso, he made no progress. He had an incredible track record, but with us, the stopwatch said Nyck was the wrong choice. And in a final attempt to go faster, he made so many mistakes." So especially if you know about his stint in F1, his final four races, I'll give him credit. This guy was pushing the car. Like, he was flying around corners and shit, but he was wrecking, like, every race, bro. Like, it was Logan Sargeant times eight. So it was just not a good look. Lance Stroll, I don't know how he's in F1, bro. Just his dad, that's why. Races before first win with Ferrari. Fernando Alonso, one race. Kimi Raikkonen, one race. Mario Andretti, one race. Nigel Mansell, one race. Alain Prost, two races. Julian Manuel Fangio, two races. Sebastian Vettel, two races. Mike Hawthorn, three races. Niki Lauda, three races. And John Surtees, five races. The real question is, how many races will Lewis Hamilton have before his first win in that Ferrari red? Or will he win the first race of the season and break that Ferrari red record that Fernando Alonso seems to hold? Mm. Real quick, I've talked about the F1 grid going into 2025. Your quick thoughts after I go through this real quick, Caden. Max Verstappen and Liam Lawson with Red Bull. Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll with Aston Martin. Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri with McLaren, Yuki Tsunoda, and Isaac Hajar with Red Bull Racing, or Racing Bulls now. And then with Sauber, before they turn into Audi in 2026, it's Nico Hülkenberg and Andretti Bortoleto, I think his name is. Brazilian guy. Really, he's got some flair. And then with Mercedes, it's George Russell and Kimi Antonelli, the young kid. He's like 19. And then Ferrari has Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, obviously. Alpine has Pierre Gasly and Jack Doohan, who apparently his contract is only for 6 races. So, which they actually did sign Franco Colapinto as their reserve driver. So I'm assuming, and people are also rumored to have said his deal is a 5-year contract. So I think Jack Doohan is doomed to fail. He's a rookie too. So, and with Williams, it's it's Carlos Sainz and Alexander Albon. I don't really like Albon. I know you kind of think he's decent, but I don't know. I don't really like him that much. I think he's kind of just gotten worse after Red Bull Racing.
Yeah, definitely. But you're also not in a Red Bull car.
True, but he's also like, he honestly, Franco Colapinto deserves his seat more than him on Williams.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
With Sainz, Franco and Sainz would have been nasty.
Develop Franco.
Yeah, dude, and Sainz would have, because Albon's past development, he's
Albon,
already...
Albon will go somewhere else. No, he can... No, Albon can definitely still...
Because he's, like, early 30s now, bro. Like, it's... Really? It's, yeah, bro. Late 20s, 29, 30. He's not... I don't think he's 27 or 26 anymore. This guy was young in Red Bull Racing, and I think as well with...
Let's see, how old is he?
I think he's he might be the same age as Pierre Gasly, actually.
He's 28 years old.
28, late 20s. So I don't really think you're going to invest in developing that guy.
Ousmane Dembele, former winger from Barcelona, is becoming back to his old form back when he was 18. He's 27 now.
So maybe Albon. I've seen Albon with like 2 races, bro. That it was like, wow, that's great. But Sainz, I've had like 18 to 20.
Sainz is
and Colapinto, like last apart from him. Colapinto last year, I got like 5. I was like, holy shit, look at this kid.
But yeah.
And then with Haas, I love this lineup. Outside of obviously the sleazeball Frenchman, how am I forgetting his name now? With Haas, they signed him. He was on Alpine. He just won like a race in the final 3 races.
Gasly?
Not Gasly, but Ollie Bearman's the rookie on Haas now, who I really like. He tested with Ferrari, but
oh my god, I know who you're talking
about. Oh god. The fact that we don't even know his name is crazy. You know why he left Alpine? I mean, he was going to leave either way. I can't remember his name, and it's going to piss me off now. Can you look that up for me? But Alpine tracked his car to a test facility for Haas. So they're like, yeah, dude, we're going to go ahead and sit you for the last race. That's why Jack Doohan got to debut technically in the final race of the season last year. But, he's on Haas now.
Ocon left.
Esteban Ocon is his name, yeah. He's on Haas with Ollie Bearman.
That's
the guy that got tracked to the Haas test.
He was on Williams.
He was on Alpine with Pierre Gasly. All right. 2 French drivers. It's a shame they won't have that. Audi officially joins 100% of Sauber for €165 million, which is fucking crazy. I want to get your thoughts on Audi coming in 2026 as well. In January 2025, Audi officially acquired Sauber Holding AG. While the exact financial details remain undisclosed, the deal is estimated to be worth around €650 million. Obviously, with Cadillac coming in 2026, combine that with Audi's rebranding, taking over Sauber in 2026. What do you expect from the 2026 season with all the new changes as well coming into that play?
I've heard that the cars were looking like slower. That's what I heard from Max Verstappen. I feel like this is one of those seasons where I don't think we've seen this many young and experienced drivers on the blacktop at one time this whole season. So, there's like 5 rookies this season?
I think 6 rookies. Jack Doohan.
That's insane.
Hajar, Bortoleto. Bearman. But he debuted and filled in for Haas.
Rookie season, though.
Yeah, rookie season. Same with Liam Lawson, technically, then. So, that's 6 right there. Yeah. But you're right. A lot of a lot of rookie and young drivers.
So, I think I don't know how that experience is going to set in like that, because It might be a rude awakening. It might not be. We might see some fireworks from the young guys, which that's what we're always hoping. Honestly, I see Ferrari winning the Constructors.
Really? So that's your, okay, really early prediction here. So Ferrari wins Constructors. Who wins Drivers? Ferrari? Lewis Hamilton or Charles Leclerc? Who wins? Lando Norris?
That's a hard... I think it might be Lando.
I mean, because Red Bull declined last year for sure. But, I mean, I agree. I think McLaren could... Low-key, I think McLaren might sweep. Mm. I'm a McLaren guy, obviously, but I think Oscar Piastri is, like, a top four driver on the grid. I combine him with Lando Norris, who's a top three.
And then
Lewis Hamilton's obviously up there.
I gotta say he's top three, bro.
Lewis Hamilton? Yeah. Right now? Yeah, I think he might be number one. Him or Max?
I think it's, him, Max, or Lando.
Yeah, and then you could obviously respectively put up, like, I guess, not
Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc is in my top three as well. Fuck, dude, that's so Charles hard, Leclerc. Bro. That's like, I think Carlos Sainz,
I don't know
too.
I don't know who I want to do, but like that Ferrari team is gonna be crazy, bro. Him and Leclerc might be neck and neck, or Hamilton might fall off.
Yeah, because Red Bull's not winning Constructors with Lawson in his first season. He'll do, I think, better than Perez did last year, but I don't know if they're gonna be able to outclass Ferrari.
That, bro, like, Ferrari, like that lineup is crazy.
It
bro.
Is, and real quick, talking about the schedule here: 24 races for 2025, which is pretty cool. They keep adding more races, so the breaks are going to get longer in between in some of those races, and especially summer break. Australia, round one. And it looks like there is no sprint for Australia. There is a sprint in round two in China. In round three, that's Japan. Round four, it's Bahrain. Round five, it is Saudi Arabia. Round six, it is Miami, and Miami does have a sprint race. Round seven, it is Emilia-Romagna. Round eight, it is the famous Monaco. Round nine, it is Spain. Round 10, it is Canada. Round 11, it is Austria. Round 12, it is Britain. Round 13, it is Belgium with a sprint race. Round 14 is Hungary. Round 15 is Netherlands. Round 16 is Italy. Round 17 is Azerbaijan. Round 18 is Singapore. Round 19 is the USA in Austin, Texas with a sprint race. Round 20 is Mexico. Round 21 is Brazil with a sprint race in Sao Paulo. I love that track. Round 22 is Las Vegas, another great track. Honestly, the last five tracks are amazing. Round 23 is in Qatar, another great track with a sprint race as well in Losail. Round 24, the final race of the 2025 season for F1 is going to be in Abu Dhabi. Unfortunately, no sprint race there, but there is a sprint race in round 23 in Qatar, which is pretty cool. So really, really highly anticipated season coming up. Absolutely. Let me go ahead and dive into some of the other facts and stuff of the F1 that I've kind of attached into my photo reel here. Excuse me. We have a little quote here from Kimi Antonelli. If he wins one of the first three Grand Prix, it's actually a fact here. If he wins one of the first three Grand Prix, he will be the youngest Grand Prix winner ever. I think it's because his birthday is after round three. So if Kimi is able to pull something like that off, and Toto Wolff is highly anticipating his talent and skill level to be equivalent to a young Max Verstappen, that is what Toto has said. He said the reason why he is starting Kimi and putting him into this position early is because he does not want to miss on a chance like Max Verstappen, like he did back in the day, because he missed on him. He had a chance to get him, and he doesn't want to miss that chance. So Kimi, you know, through the struggles, they're probably going to let him ride out, and obviously they do have Bottas as their reserve driver, so he could he is back on Mercedes. He did say that he regretted going to Alfa Romeo, which turned into Sauber. Lewis Hamilton does aim, obviously, to secure his eighth, or, you know, some would say his ninth title this season. So, and if a rookie claims 13 podiums in 2025, he will break the record currently held by Lewis Hamilton, which is, you know, who else?
Yeah.
Max Verstappen.
Probably the best rookie of all time.
Honestly.
Like Cam Newton.
Low key. Yeah. Not even low key, just high key.
Jaden Daniels.
Or Sebastian Vettel. Low key, Vettel went crazy for Red Bull. Max Verstappen, when he wins his fifth title in a row, he would equal Michael Schumacher's record. So that would be pretty incredible if Max gets another driver's, because I don't think he'll get a constructor's this year. Charles Leclerc, he is just 10 points away from surpassing Sebastian Vettel with the most career points with Ferrari, which is insane. But Vettel really didn't have a great tenure with Ferrari. He kind of struggled a lot. But not really his fault. They were kind of in a weird point. Ferrari was in a weird space from 2017 to like 2021. So I'm not really going to fault it completely on him. Some other cool stuff. McLaren is apparently willing to help pay for permanent stewards, says Zach Brown, which I don't know what you would think about that. Would you... permanent stewards, do you like that idea? Do you...
Wait, that's permanent for what?
For the FIA. So, like, they would have permanent stewards making decisions and, you know...
So now it's different
for it's like a seasonal race. Job, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, if you get the right guys, like experienced guys...
I'd say former drivers.
Yeah, I could see how that could make them more experienced, because you get different people every year. You know, it's better just get them, you know, more experience and more
have continuity. Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
Hopefully that can help. So some awards that really weren't like officially a part of F1, but Lando Norris did win International Racing Driver of the Year. A couple of those awards get given out because Max also did win that as well. The winner of the International Competition Car of the Year was the McLaren MCL 38. Really good car McLaren had this year. Hopefully they can continue to build on it. Winner of the Person of the Year for anyone in the paddock, it was Andrea Stella, involved with McLaren. If you know, kind of a G. And that really kind of covers all that I have here today. I'm trying to see if I'm missing anything, but it doesn't look like I am. What is your highly anticipated moment for this upcoming Formula One season? Lewis Hamilton winning drivers?
I think I don't know if I'm so confident in him winning drivers. You know what I mean?
Constructors, you're confident in Ferrari winning though?
Honestly, makes sense, the lineup's the best lineup. Yeah, I'm confident in Ferrari winning constructors. But I'm thinking that Lando Norris, if they have a good enough car, I think he just takes over, bro. If we're being for real, I think he's the best driver in the world.
Right now, yeah. I mean, he's up there. I mean, Max is, dude, you can't argue Max, though. With a shittier car last year, he still won drivers.
Yeah.
He still outperformed. I mean, the one bad thing about Lando Norris, this is my only knock on the guy, is if he is ever in pole position, he's not going to finish there. In the first turn, he gets fucked every fucking time. It's like the one thing about him, he's
prepared for that pressure.
I don't think he's aggressive enough.
Yeah.
Like in those instances, like put your fucking foot on the pedal, bro. Like I don't know. Maybe it's not speed. Maybe it's just like defense.
He's
like,
just so technical, bro. And
he is. He is the definition of like a data, like an like he's literally analyst.
Just fucking like video gaming that shit, bro.
And honestly, you know what's crazy? Haas does not even have their own simulation, like warehouse. They use Ferraris.
What?
Yeah, like they rent Ferrari's old one.
Damn.
Like they're so behind. Like, bro, but the cool thing about the 2026 regulations, which I want to touch on this real quick before we wrap this up. Yeah, it's going to make the cars a little slower. Yeah, it might, like the cars might look different type shit. Yeah. But what it is going to do, it's going to provide an equal playing field for all teams.
Yeah.
And money won't really come into a big effect. I mean, obviously with the cap, the money cap they already have set for the past couple of years, but... I mean, back in the day, bro.
Salary caps are smashed, bro.
But back in the day, like, bro, there was a distinct top four team. If you were not in the top four, and like I forget what team it was that Jeremy Button drove for 2 years. It was like an anomaly team that came out of nowhere, a privately owned team. They went and won races, and then they went bankrupt in like 2009. I think they were only around for one season. I can't remember. It was lit. Like it was lit. Jeremy Button, shout out to him, a Red Bull guy. But yeah, no, everyone out there, thank you for tuning in to our Formula One off-season update episode. It's greatly appreciated. Caden, thanks for sitting in on this one, giving us some of your input there. But everyone out there, greatly appreciated for you tuning in. Make sure you check us out on social media at Tea Time Reports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. Subscribe, like, and comment to the YouTube channel at Tee Time Reports as well. All support is greatly appreciated. Like, comment, subscribe, give us a rating. It's greatly recognized, if you will. We definitely appreciate it. It goes a long way. And I know that the boys definitely like to see that because, I mean, we look at the numbers and genuinely it's crazy to see that this many people listen to us, and it's great. Well, we are grateful for that. Like, it's hard to quantify or put into words, like, knowing that thousands or at least a couple hundred people a month maybe tune in and download an episode or two. So thank you for that. And especially if you're a Formula One fan, stay tuned in. The F1 75 event will be covered extensively. We'll get a whole episode out for that. So thank you guys so much. Stay safe, stay awake, and peace.